This is the Empowered Caregiver. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here are the Empowered Caregivers and your host.
Because there are so many topics that we can cover on this show. So I had to step back and get curious when you said you wanted to take some time to talk about hope.
I know. I'm having kind of a personal crisis of some sort, I guess. A crisis of conscience. I don't really know what they call it. But there's a lot of changes going on in my life. And I think that's what's driving me to be curious about religion again. I was raised Catholic, and then I've described myself as a shopping cart Catholic, which means I take what I like and I leave the rest. And as the Catholic Church has had quite the scandals, and as Maggie Dawn was just talking about in our last show, churches her last show
yes.
on Saturday, but churches don't always know their place. Religious leaders don't always know their place, right? And so I've really kind of pulled away from what religion has been in my life. But recently with all these changes, I'm getting curious again. And I have a friend who's pretty spiritual and religious. And so I went to his church. And there were two women up on the altar. And it just was like, wow. And they were dynamic. And they just, what they were saying resonated with me. So
awesome.
I've been open to it more. And last week, the sermon was about hope. That is what I've been looking for in terms of how I've wanted to explain to you what I want the mission of the show about. Because sometimes we talk on air, and lots of times off air, I say to you, I don't want to sound whiny. I don't want to sound complaining. I don't want to be like, oh, the poor family caregivers, because who wants to listen to people complain about their lives? We all have different struggles, adversities, or as my Catholic mother would say, crosses in life to bear. And my cross is being a family caregiver, right? I didn't sign up to have Nicole as my child. I didn't sign up or expect to have somebody with all these disabilities. I've not got any experience. Nobody gave me a guidebook, and I do get overwhelmed a lot. But I've been taking about the Empowered Caregiver community and our radio show, I know that what's behind us isn't complaining. What's behind us is hope. And I just haven't been able to articulate that until last Sunday when I had this epiphany of the I don't really know if you call him a minister or what this person was that was preaching, because I'm going to different churches now.
Just I was going to say, obviously, you're a little rusty.
Yes, exactly. I'm definitely rusty because I'm not in a Catholic church, and I'm wondering if my Catholic parents are rolling over in their graves because I'm not in Catholic churches. But I'm like, I'm going to check these different places out. And I'm also on my list is a synagogue and a mosque. And I want to check out some Hindu temples. I just want to see what people are talking about and what fits. And like I said, hope resonated. And so I wanted to come back to you and say, hope to me is what we're about here at the Empowered Caregiver, because we want to be able to build our community centered around the fact that it's worth it. It's worth it for us to care and to still have hope in these roles that we've kind of landed in. So what do you think of when you hear the word hope, Liza?
I was really pondering that, and I put a few ideas together. To me, within all of your aspirations, I feel lies a seed of hope. You know, mm-hmm. it has to. Hope is embedded in our dreams. It's the match which lights any type of creative process. You know, if you're hopeful,
yes.
right, and you're hoping, right, that what you're creating is worth it, and that people enjoy it, and that it works and succeeds and all of that fun stuff. I feel like hope can be a life jacket when you're lost at sea, and it can also be a roof above your head when the realities of life feel like a downpour.
Wow. I like that, Liza.
I was thinking.
Yeah, you were. I like all those visuals.
Yeah, and I think that within every day lies a hope for a better tomorrow. And I found a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese
refugee or speaker? I don't know.
Monk? I don't. Yes. That hope is important because it can make the present moment feel less difficult to bear. If we believe that tomorrow will be better, we can bear the hardship of today.
Oh, I love it. It really resonates with what I heard in the sermon too. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And hope does not disappoint. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yeah. I love all these things that people are saying about hope.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, me being that fact-finding statistic nerd that I am, I wanted to dig in a little deeper and try to learn academically, you know, what hope really is.
Oh, about. I knew as soon as I said to you, hey, Liza, next week I want to talk about hope. I was like, oh, she's going to come back with all of the TED Talks, ladies and gentlemen. She's going to have six articles for me to read, highlight. I'm going to have to come up with like reference article. I don't even know. I'm out of the whole academic.
I didn't go that far, but I didn't have to because I listened to TED Talk.
Yeah.
From Chan Hellman, a professor of social work at the University of Oklahoma and the director of the Hope Research Center. And his TED is that hope is a way of thinking. It's not an emotion, which is actually good news because it means that we can teach hope.
I thought that was really cool listening to him too. So I wanted to let our audience know it's about a 20-minute TED Talk. Again, it's Dr. Chan Hellman, professor of social work at the University of Oklahoma, and he's the director of the Hope Research Center. So we were like, let's see if we can find this guy. Let's start doing some, you know, cyber stalking on him. And his TED Talk that we listened to is on the science and power of hope. And yeah. I thought, wow, I get what he means when he says it's a way of thinking. So if mm-hmm. it's a way of thinking, it's something we can actually teach. The psychology teacher in me was like, oh, absolutely. You start breaking it down and you start helping people understand the different components.
Right. And his definition is hope is the belief that your future will be better than today and that you have the power to make it so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's really three parts as he defines to hope. There's goal setting, the pathways to get there, and the willpower to make it happen.
Exactly. And I think what was different about listening to his TED Talk from listening to, you know, the quote you sent me and then what I referenced in the sermons, and it was that it wasn't just this big fluffy idea, but mm-hmm. that it is something that's actually accessible, right? It's right. something we can do because it's something we can teach. So it's something we can learn. And by breaking it down into the goals, pathways, and willpower, what we're recognizing is that, sure, we all talk about goals, but he's pointing out that where hope is accessible is that to keep the hope for our goals to become something we can get, we have to have both the pathways and the motivation to get to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And from the aspect of goals, what I thought was really interesting is that he talked about how when we're kind of feeling down and out and we might not feel like we have a lot of hope, we tend to set what are avoidant goals. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to avoid this. But what we really need to do if we want to be moving towards a successful or yeah. like a beneficial, hopeful
right.
goal
oh, right.
is we want to set ones that are achievement based.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he gave the example for him that he went to college, which sounds like a noble goal, but it was actually an avoidance goal because the alternative was to work on a farm or go into the army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought that was really helpful to me. I'm like, okay. And then as a result, do you remember what he said about his experience yes. in college?
Yes. Yes. That was hilarious. His yeah. his first year, his GPA was what, 0.053
something. Yes. And he said the only class he passed was advanced swimming. Yes. He's like, apparently I like to swim.
Yes.
And I, sending Andy off to college, was thinking, I got to have Andy listen to this. I got to have Andy listen to this. You've got to pass more than just. Did say to the audience too, he goes, yes, and even you with a 0.053 GPA in your first semester can end up a professor.
Yeah, at the University of Oklahoma anyways,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, right.
That was hilarious. And I think sometimes as caregivers, you know, we set kind of these avoidance goals of, you know, I just need to survive, mm-hmm. right? That's my goal, to survive, not thrive. And that's fine some days. Some days that's it. Yeah. Right. But if you're looking at your life picture as a whole, it can impact
right.
quality of life.
Right.
Think, right.
And that's what we need is that to bring hope into our caregiving roles and for us to encourage you all out there as our community to look at hope as an option. We want you to see that thriving is something we can do. Mm-hmm. But he does talk about how trauma and adversity influences hope. And we've got a clip here. Evan, our sweetheart producer, are we ready to play it? He's getting it ready for us. And it's where...
I have always believed that hope is that stubborn thing.
You know what? I had a surprise for you, Evan. That's okay, Evan. So we're going to play that going out. We're going to play that going out into the first commercial break. There's a little clip from Obama. That talks about hope. What we wanted to do was the TED Talk, the first clip starting at 9:45.
Because this is Dr. Chan Hellman, who we've been listening to and referencing his ideas.
Yes.
So we also have learned that this is especially true with children, that when they experience trauma and adversity, they become very stressed around pathways thinking. The idea of coming up with the pathways of how to pursue those goals become very difficult for them. The ability to solve problems, to overcome barriers, become very difficult. So trauma tends to rob us of our problem-solving capability. The other thing that we've learned is that our willpower, our mental energy, is driven by fear and rumination. It drains us of that willpower, of that.
Okay, so the teacher in me wants to make sure we're breaking this down, right? And if we're talking about how are we going to maintain and keep hope as caregivers, and we're going to think about this as this three-prong approach, right? We're going to have goals that are achievement-based, not avoidant-based. We've got to have pathways to get to those goals. And then we've got to have the motivation. But when we're in our traumatic experiences, when we're dealing with our adversity, it's going to be super challenging to do that. And that's because when we're in that space, we are definitely shutting down in our problem solving skills.
Yes. And
when we come back, right?
Yes. When we come back, we are going to learn more about hope and how to become more hopeful.
Exactly. Especially as caregivers. Hopefully.
Are the roadblocks that stand in our path. I'm not talking about the wishful idealism that allows us to just sit on the sidelines or shirk from a fight. I have always believed that hope is that stubborn thing inside us that insists, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us. So long as we have the courage to keep...
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with myself, Kristen Voss, and I'm here in studio with my co-host, Liza Hellenbrand, and we just are talking about hope as this big concept, and we're going to try to break it down now into a real tangible approach to life. We went into break listening to President Obama, who was the candidate of hope. I mean, that was his tagline, right? And I just love listening to his voice and talking about how it wasn't going to be this wishful, idealistic thing. And I think that's exactly what Dr. Chan Hellman, who we were talking about last segment, was also trying to get across, is that hope is not wishing, right? We say, oh, I hope you feel better. I hope you have a good day. And he's like, that's actually a wish. That's not really what hope is. What right. He's studying hope from this scientific and powerful way. And in our mindset with hope, we are setting goals that are achievement-based. And then what we were just starting to talk about is pathways and then motivation, and how when we are dealing with adversity, that's when hope kind of shuts down. And my example from yesterday that we were talking about, Liza, in my caregiving role, is my dear, sweet, darling daughter, Nicole, is just about 22. Next week, she's going to be 22. And as some people know, but maybe some of the listeners don't, she has autism, an intellectual disability, epilepsy, and a whole lot of sass. Yes. So I went outside and said, hey, we got to get going. It's time for you to get to work. And she looked at me and said, I don't have to go. And I'm like, yes, you do. You have to go to work. And she said, you're not my boss. And I was like,
And I said, you should have told her that you wanted to talk to her manager.
Exactly. And I was like, well, that's the problem. I just went into shutdown because I was like, wait a minute. How do I get her to recognize that she's going to be late, right? How do I? And all of a sudden it became about this power struggle and her disrespecting me and me not having to do things. And so I get to a place when I'm in that situation, I shut down. I don't have the pathway, right? So my goal, which is to try to build Nicole to be a stronger, more independent woman, it just goes out the window because I don't see the pathway of how I can be the kind of caregiver that builds her to that. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do, although she sounds like a pretty strong, independent woman to me. I think you've done your job. But yeah, you shut down. Your goal is to get her to work. She starts talking back to you. You shut down. You get frustrated and the arguments and the battles.
Yeah, I don't stay start. Hopeful.
Right, right. Yeah, makes sense. And from the aspect of willpower, when we're facing adversity, our energy is depleted, which means our willpower is driven more by fear and rumination.
Yep.
And adversity, I just want to step back, is defined as a misfortune or troubling situation or hardship. So we all have our own individual adversities in life. But I think the big elephant in the room when it comes to caregiving is the fact that this is a role that's not going to end.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's going to end when either the person you're caring for passes away or you do, right? Because you've got this relationship where you're taking care of somebody who can't do certain things for themselves, and sometimes life. And we've talked to a lot of people that are in the service industry, like the people at a Grace and in hospice, talking about what it's like to support caregivers and the care recipients. And so, yeah, that's exhausting, right? And that is a troubling situation, and that's a lot of hardship. And so it's hard to stay motivated.
So how do you think we get past that?
That's a good question. I mean, I think for me, and from what I was hearing out of his TED Talk, I've listened to it now probably about 2.5 times, is that we have to stay in our imagination. He said, imagination is the instrument of hope. We have to be able to imagine ourselves in that future context. So I think, the big news that I don't think I've shared on air yet is that Nicole is going to be moving out next month.
That
right?
is exciting.
It's super exciting. And I didn't think that was ever going to happen, right? And so this whole idea of imagination, I had to get to the place in my own life where I could start to imagine how Nicole could live in some other home besides ours, how she could have support, how she would have hope, how she would have an open mind. And we got there. She's moving into a 4-unit home where everybody there's 6 of them, are all young women with disabilities. They've got incredible community already built. They know Nicole. They like Nicole. She likes them. She's excited. She said today she's scared. I said, absolutely. Everybody's scared about something new and different. But she's excited. Her roommate has Disney Plus, so that's a huge bonus.
plus.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for me, I think we get past that moments of exhaustion, sleep deprivation, you know, I haven't eaten well, I can't see the hope, by recognizing that when we can get ourselves in the right frame of mind and we can imagine, and we can imagine ourselves in a different place in the future, or our care recipients in a different place in the future, that's how we can find our hope.
Exactly. And I have here that we should run through an example. So I want to say, as a caregiver, I hope to create more balance, create more time for myself.
Right.
And the pathways part.
Right. Is that you've got to figure out, well, why aren't you creating more time for yourself? Right. And I think what we've brainstormed together is that pathways break down around, for me, I'm like, well, I'm just a superwoman. I'm just going to do it all, right? Mm-hmm. Or I need to find resources to help me and I don't know how. Or you've right. told me yours is...
is guilt.
Yep.
If I'm not always there doing everything, which was probably a little of the superwoman complex that... or if I just leave, I feel guilty. So...
yeah. And what about the motivation piece?
The motivation is that I need to do this for my health. I need to do this so I can be the best for myself and for all the people in my life.
Including your care recipient, right?
Exactly.
So it is to create more balance and time for ourselves. We've got to look at our pathways and we've got to look at our motivation.
When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about from Chan Hellman, the professor at University of Oklahoma and the director of the Center for Hope. Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we have been talking about what hope is and how you can have hope as a family caregiver. Love the music choice, Evan. Good job. Mm-hmm. I wish the sun would come a little more today, but I know we need the rain.
Mother Earth needs the rain.
Yes. If you would like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 844-967-2789, and we would love to hear from you and how you find hope, and as well as what you're hopeful for.
Right. And I really want to say that again, right? Let's actually think, even if you don't want to call us, just take for a moment right now and think about how do you find hope personally? And what are you personally hopeful for, either as a caregiver or just even in your own life and all the other roles you have? And as we talked about earlier, there can be barriers to hope when your basic needs are not being met, or you're facing adversity. And I think that makes sense, right? But Dr. Chan Hellman, right? We're on a first name basis now.
I guess
my
so.
Friend Chan mm-hmm. continues in his talk to explain from his research how to nurture hope. And he says that there's three pieces to this, right? Because there's the three components to how to have hope. First of all, we have to desire the outcome. The more we're going to face adversity if we try to overcome it, right? So desiring the outcome, if that goal is something I actually want to attain. So the goal you kept giving as a caregiver is that you want to get more time for yourself. And you asked me on my deck yesterday, which was a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any rain and there was a beautiful breeze. You said, well, what are you hoping for as a caregiver? And I thought, oh, wow, there's a lot to that. And I said, no, okay. Because Nicole's moving out and this is a huge transition. And I said it to her, which was really good. And our doctor's appointment. What I'm hoping for us is that I get to be just your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, the doctor said, right, because right now mom is doing everything for you. Mom's getting you to take your medicine. Mom's getting you, you know, to your doctor's appointments. Mom is making you go to work. Mom is fighting the fights. And I was thinking, right. So this is, if I want to nurture hope, right, if I'm hopeful that I'm going to be able to have a relationship that's more typical between right. a mom and a daughter, I'm going to work on everything I can that's going to come in the way of that, because that is a goal and an outcome I really desire. So how am I want that goal? And what he also explained, Hellman, not the doctor we were with today, is that one opportunity for success shows us that the future is possible.
Yes.
Right. What do you think that means? Like, I remember asking you, Liza, when you listen to that, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, I think of the example of working out, right? You know, like every Monday morning, I'm going to mm-hmm. start working out.
Right.
I've been wanting to do that for 30 some years.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do it
Right.
And you know, this is possible. Mm-hmm. And then you do it the next day or however, you know, whatever your schedule is. And you're like, yeah, I can do this. And then you build this momentum until it's habit forming. And then you get to the point where you're like our typical teenage sons,
right,
where they flip out
right
if they don't work out.
But I can't get to that gym again today, Mom. I'm like, haven't you already gone once?
I know.
It's ridiculous how they have completely idolized that place.
But it started somewhere, right? It started with them not working out.
Exactly.
And they were hopeful that they were going to get buff and pick up people.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And they both have been successful with that. Right. So that one opportunity for success shows them that they can keep doing it and that it's actually possible. And then hope begets hope. Right.
Right.
And so you get that momentum from the fact that by staying hopeful, it keeps feeding about and bringing about more hope.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to be playing the final thoughts from Chan Hellman, the professor at the University of Oklahoma and the director of the Center for Hope. And this piece comes from his TED Talk on the science and power of hope. Evan, if you could do the next segment starting at 18:02.
But there's one more component that I want to share with you. Nurture hope. Now, as I mentioned, during my childhood, during my high school years, I was experiencing quite a bit of adversity in my life, transitioning into homelessness and other things that are associated with that. And I was really experiencing a tremendous amount of despair. It was really a dark time in my life, and to the point where I began to think about strategies to escape the pain. I set a plan. I had a date. And as I'm engaging in this sort of dark period of my life, one of my teachers, one of my middle school teachers, began to recognize my struggle. And he came up one day and he sat down beside me for about 3 to 5 minutes. And he didn't say anything for the longest time. In fact, he just leaned into me. And then after a period of time, as he starts to get up, he looks over and he says, Chan, you're going to be okay. And as that plan, as that date for me approached, and I began to think about my strategies in life, and what that teacher taught me is a critical aspect of nurturing hope, and that is hope is a social gift. Hope is not something that happens in isolation within us. It happens in relationships with each other. Our connectedness with each other is one of the single best predictors of hope. Our connectedness with others, our connectedness with something greater than ourselves, hope is a social gift. At the heart of change is our ability to understand the way things are right now in our lives. For me, I understood the despair and the angst that I was experiencing. But because of that important teacher in my life, I began to imagine the way things could be. And so for me, that is when hope is born. And we should learn to be a little more intentional in our social connections. Thank you.
Oh, it gives me chills each time I listen to it. And I think what I love the most about it is that it really comes back and resonates with what I'm hoping to do with the Empowered Caregiver community, right? I'm hoping that we can continue to build a community and a social connection for the family caregivers that are out there listening to us, for the family caregivers that haven't found us yet, that are, you know, looking for some type of support, some type of acknowledgement, some type of recognition, and some type.
Yes. No, I agree. And I just want to read his final quote again, because I you're right. It's very good. The power of hope. At the heart of change is our ability to understand the way things are right now in our lives, and that we can begin to imagine the way things could be. This is where hope is born. And I was pausing because I was debating whether or not I wanted to put you on the spot, but I think I'm going to go for it. You know, he talks about the importance of community in hope. And what is, can you make that connection? Can you draw that connection for people that may not get it?
Yeah, I can. Thank you for actually asking me and putting me on the spot, because I was thinking about that as I was listening to it this time, because I loved how he said it's our connection to other people and it's a connection to something bigger than ourselves. And that goes back to why I think I continue to be looking for something spiritual, right? Or looking for God, or looking for this sense that there is more to all of this than just me. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that. And I'm finding that because of that, I have hope. I have hope for myself, my family. I have hope for what you and I are trying to do in our mission with this business. I emailed back and forth with a self-advocate, a gentleman that we're going to have on in a couple weeks, who is in a wheelchair, has cerebral palsy, and was trying to just enlighten me on how tough the paid caregiver crisis is and how dependent he is. He said, I start my day needing a caregiver and I end my day needing a caregiver. And when I can't have a reliable one, my entire day is derailed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to respond back. And then I just thought, okay, if hope is your thing, I just said to him, my heart goes out to you. And I'm hopeful that every step we're taking to raise awareness brings a little bit more opportunity and clarity for the in him telling me his experience and me not being like, well, that just sucks, right? Or, you've got it worse than I do, or you want to hear how I've got, you know, like all the negativity that we so oftentimes can go to. But if we leave this by leaning on each other, by supporting one another, and maintaining hope.
Mm. That does make perfect sense. And it's, I don't know if it's sad or if it's concerning or if it's both to me, that when it comes to being a family caregiver, isolation is such a huge factor. And maybe that's it, right? When you're isolated, you're feeling like you're in it alone.
Right. And in some days and in some moments you are.
Right.
Right. And that is when it looks dark and you are facing the adversity that Hellman was mentioning in his TED talk, and the hope just shuts down. But when you can see that you're not alone, right? Listen to our podcast, take one of our classes, come to our retreat, right? Reach out to other people that you know who are family caregivers. Identify yourself as a family caregiver. Let people know what you need. That is what is going to get us through all of this. It's not that we are alone. It's just that we need to know how to ask for help, lean on other people, and let people help us.
Yeah.
And build that community.
Yeah. I like that you know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you, it's hard to be hopeful if
right.
you're feeling alone and isolated and it's just you versus the world. So I don't know, maybe the introvert in me got a little lost in this, you need community for hope. Like I don't want to say I don't get it. It makes sense, but you did a great job articulating or making that connection. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 844-967-2789. We would love to hear from you about how you find hope as well as what you may be hopeful for. I'm going to switch gears a little bit because
we've got some news.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. As we mentioned in the past, on April 18th, 2023, President Biden signed an executive order on increasing access to high-quality care and supporting family caregivers, which included more than 50 directives aimed at almost every cabinet level.
I know, it was awesome. And so the Assisting Caregivers Today, or ACT, caucus, which was previously started in 2015, was now relaunched by Representative Debbie Dingell from Michigan, and it has received bipartisan support. The purpose of the caucus is to raise awareness about the challenges that family caregivers face, so exactly what we've been talking about, and to bring attention to the issues caregivers of all backgrounds face. News release from Dingell, almost 20 million U.S. adults require assistance with activities of daily living due to physical, cognitive, developmental, or behavioral conditions. And 53 million family caregivers contribute $600 billion worth of care annually.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. And the caucus plans to interact with a broad array of stakeholders, including older adults, service providers, paid caregivers, employers, people with disabilities, and the long-term care insurance industry. So at a federal level, they're getting their act together. They're going to start doing this stuff.
Well, you know what? I'm hopeful.
Exactly. Yay. Good. Yes. I hope everybody is hopeful.
Right.
Because that's what we need to do, right? Is that we need to recognize people are listening, people are taking steps. And when we come back in a couple moments, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on. Evan, I don't think you knew that Journey was my first concert. And so I love that we have Don't Stop Believin' coming in. And yeah, I was 12 years old. Journey was the first concert I ever went to at Rosemont Horizon outside of Chicago. And I still to this day love to bust up a dance floor dancing to Journey.
I honestly think my first concert was Air Supply, but
sorry to hear that.
I know, right? But the first concert that I was like gung-ho pumped about, Billy Idol.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But I got to tell you, there's nothing like Journey. They're just a classic. And I think we need to take the message. Because we've been talking about hope. This is the Empowered Caregiver Radio Show. I'm Kristen Voss, and I'm here with Liza Hellenbrand, my co-host. And we wanted to end the segment just giving you a little bit more positive news since we've been talking about hope. Mm-hmm. Here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is renewing the Family Care and Family Care Partnership waivers. This is a good thing, because this is something that helps many people with disabilities and older people be able to have home and community-based services. And what I love is that they are actually going to be offering two online public input sessions to share thoughts on the whole waiver renewal process. Isn't it exciting that they actually want to hear from the people?
Who knew?
I know. So they're going to be holding these online public input sessions on July 25th. And or July 26th. You don't have to go to both. It's an opportunity to share your ideas. The goal is to use this opportunity to make the programs the best they can be. And to do this, they need your input. If you cannot attend the Zoom meetings, they also have an input survey, which can be found on their website.
Mm-hmm. And this is for just about anyone, family, friends, caregivers, managed care organizations, advocates, are all invited to attend. The website is a little long and wonky, so I placed it on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So if you would like to participate in either a Zoom session or just fill out the online input survey, go to our Facebook page, Empowered Caregiver Community, and you will find it there.
Also, the state Senate passed SB 122, a strongly bipartisan bill that's going to help Wisconsin people with disabilities set up tax-exempt, achieving a better experience savings accounts to pay for quality Nicole has one of these ABLE accounts, but because we haven't had one in Wisconsin, we set it up in Maryland, and it's been kind of crazy because they're getting the money to use to invest for her. But whenever states are investing our money, they're also making money, right? So it's been sort of mind-boggling that Wisconsin wasn't going to offer one of these.
Yeah, and this goes back to where I need to dust off some of those Schoolhouse Rocks VHS cassettes, because the ABLE account was in the budget and it was taken out, and then we had learned that they can be brought forth and stand again. So this is great. This Medicaid-funded long-term care programs like Family Care and IRIS that people with disabilities that rely on independently have very strict income and asset levels. You can't have more than $2,000
in your account.
So
that's how come you want these ABLE accounts.
Right. The ABLE accounts shield you from those assets. And, you know, to not have $2,000 in your account, that doesn't allow you to have a payment for a rental deposit or other routine expenses. So it really keeps people kind of cash poor.
Right. And the other problem is it's what people who look at all of the federal funded programs and say, this is something that gives people the incentive to not work.
Right.
Right. That's exactly the problem, is that if I can't have more than $2,000 in my accounts in order to keep my Social Security disability payments, then I'm kind of being told not to work.
Right. And we should have backed up a step and made that connection about the ABLE account. The ABLE account really protects people that are receiving Social Security income, so they don't have to remain, you know, poor.
Right. They don't have to have just set limits,
right?
Because you have a checking and savings account, but you can have this ABLE account that is separate, and it no longer is going to impact whether or not you will lose any of your Medicaid disability income. So yeah, it's really super helpful.
It is. And there are some limits to it. Like, you can't put $100,000 a year in your ABLE account and still receive Social Security. I think the most that you can put in there at one point was 12,000 something. It went up a little bit 15,000 maybe, but it's still nice.
Right. And ABLE accounts are an option for an estimated 6 million more people now, including about 1 million military veterans, people who develop early onset degenerative diseases or experience traumatic injury, which I think is important. So it's not just people that were born with permanent disabilities like our kiddos. It's people that have not expected this to happen in their life, has happened in their life young, like 30s, you know, 40s. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, what kind of choices am I being left to make? So,
right.
These ABLE accounts are super helpful.
They also raised the age limit. At one point, you had to be 26 or under to have have a disability by that age.
Right.
And they raised it to a lot more people.
See, there is reason to have hope, even though there is a lot that didn't get through the legislature. Through the budget from the legislature that we wanted the last couple of months. I still am going to say we have to keep hope. Right.
We have to keep hope alive. And I also want to, do I have time to throw this out there? Because I would really want to give everyone the opportunity to come and see us. We are going to be at the Disability Pride Festival. That is July 29th at Warner Park in Sherman Avenue in Madison from noon to 5 p.m.
It's a joyful gathering of the entire disability community and their allies. Certain pets like my dog, Minnie, who's going to disturb the working dogs, please leave them at home this time.
God, or dogs like mine that's going to disturb just about everyone in their way.
Well, you said that, not me.
Nobody's disagreeing with me. Nobody will disagree with me.
No, and we know that caregiving can be
overwhelming
and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with a positive note.
You got this.
And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community.